You're listening to audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, where we train students to preach the Word and reach the world. For more free resources like this one, visit www.swbts.edu/media resources.
Well, good morning. How is everybody doing? Amen, amen. Given obedience to God, my Father, Jesus Christ, who is the Lord and Savior of my life, to a gentleman who I consider not only a friend but a mentor, one who has meant more to me than he probably will ever know. I have no doubt in my mind, and I'm not saying that because he's here. I'm saying it because it's true, that I would not be in the position that I am today if it had not been for him. He's been a mentor, he's been a counselor, he's been a someone that I can advise, someone that I can call on at any time, and I just thank God that God allowed me to get to know someone in the person and personality of Dr. Paige Patterson. Let's give it up for your president, amen. There is no other president of any other seminary like Dr. Paige Patterson. I promise you that. What a great gift he is to you as a seminary and to the body of Christ called the Southern Baptist Convention and all of you who know him and love him. And we know that he would not be the man that he is today without his wife, Dr. Patterson. So let's give it up for her. Thank God for her. Amen. She has, as he has been to me, she has been to my wife, Elizabeth, and we're so grateful to both of you, particularly these last 17 months that we have served as a president of Southern Baptist Convention. First day, we thank God for you weekly, and thank God for all that you have meant to us through the years. To the faculty, to the staff, the students here at Southwestern Seminary, to all the guests, Dr. Heinzen, good to see you again, and we thank God for all of our guests who are here with us today. I'm indeed delighted and excited because I have been invited back to be here with you on today. It is a joy and a privilege to stand in this wonderful chapel, in this incredible school, to share in with the Word of God. I am thankful for each and every one of you. Thankful for your prayers for me as I've served these last 17 months as president of Southern Baptist Convention. It has been my joy and privilege to represent Southern Baptist, to represent the Kingdom of God, to represent my church and my family, and I just thank God for all that God has done. My only concern, I did not realize this position was going to be as busy as it has been. I'm real busy. Ever since I was elected in June of 2012, I've literally somewhere every week sharing the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and talking to associations and talking to conventions and talking to at different seminaries. This is my last engagement for the year. Amen, 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 amen. And I have several more months in this position. My wife wished it was several more days, but I have several more months. But we've had a joy. It's been great. It's just been real busy. Again, I talked to six former presidents before I ran for this position, all guys that I know and love and appreciate, just to find out how busy I would be. You know, I'm a pastor. You know, I'm of a local church. So I knew I had to be there at my local church. And I just need to find, guys, how busy will I be? How often will I be going up? How many engagements do I have to take? How many places do I have to go? And I just want to say, I know this is being recorded on tape and video. I just need to say it publicly. They all lied. They all lied. They all lied to me. I think they wanted me to do this so bad, they told me what I wanted to hear. Amen. But I thank God. I would not have it any other way. It's been a joy, and it has been a privilege. I do thank God for the love of my life, the apple of my eye, my prime rib, my good thing, my wife Elizabeth, who's here with me on today, and she has literally put her life on hold these last 2 years so she can travel with me across this city, state, and nation, and I thank God for her. And she has a relationship with God that I envy, that I admire. I tell everybody, my wife gets up every morning, 5 o'clock, prays for me, prays for our kids, prays for our church. If she gets to know you, she'll pray about the situation in your life. And, you know, every now and then, Dr. Patterson, she'll say, you know, Fred, it'd be really good if you would get up with me at 5 o'clock and we can pray together. I said, baby, Jesus ain't up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Amen. So I'll get up when Jesus get up about 8 o'clock. Amen. And, I thank God for her. She's the most influential person in my life. I don't know how guys do it without their wives. I really don't, man. I just thank God for her and what she means in my life. Well, turn your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Romans chapter 1 as we share today in the Word of God. The book of Romans chapter 1. One of the things that I've tried to share as I've across this country as president of SBC to share with churches and associations, with seminary students, professors, the importance of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Out of all the things that we learn, all the things that we do, the most important thing that you as students and professors and believers can do is share the gospel everywhere that you go. Our nation is in trouble. Our society is in trouble. Our cities are in trouble. Our communities are in trouble. And I believe the only thing that's going to change the things that are happening in America is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I want to talk about that this morning from Romans chapter 1. I want you to look at with me at verses 16 and 17 of that chapter. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. If you have it, please say amen. As a matter of fact, y'all can say amen all throughout this sermon. I'm kind of used to it. Y'all know what I'm talking about, all right? Y'all make me feel like I'm at home. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, you'll find these similar words. The Apostle Paul is saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Our Father and our God, Master, we thank you and we praise you for this wonderful and exciting privilege to be here once again at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Thank you for Dr. Patterson, God. Thank you for his friendship. Thank you for all that he has meant in my life, God. Thank you for his leadership of this school, God. Thank you for the faculty, the staff, the students, and the guests. Now, God, do as I ask every time I stand up to preach. God, let me decrease as you increase. Father, let them not see Fred, but God, let them see Christ. Hide me behind the cross to the end, God, that you may be glorified, the saints of God may be edified, Satan may be horrified, and lost sinners will come to repentance. Therefore, God, stand in my body, think with my mind, and speak with my voice. I'll be so very careful to give your name all the praise, all of the glory, and all of the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, and first say again, the people of God say amen. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. With that text in mind, I want to preach this morning from the subject, the transforming power of the gospel. The transforming power of the gospel. Brothers and sisters, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to realize that we're living in the last days. So Kelly, you don't have to know Bible prophecy to realize that we're living in some perilous times. The senseless killings, the brazen robberies in every community, rampant sexual abuse of children, the enemy's attack on marriage and the family, the growing disrespect for adults and authority. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in some perilous times. The Apostle Paul, when writing to his son Timothy in the faith, talked about days and times like this. When he told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said, but Timothy, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness and denying is power. You would have thought, Dr. Patterson, he was talking about the day and time that we're living in. Paul's prophecy to Timothy back then is what's a picture of what's happening in society today. My friend, what an accurate picture of our culture. What an accurate picture of our community. What an accurate picture of our nation. Paul's prophecy to Timothy is unfortunately Southwestern a reality today. Look, it's all around us. The sitcoms that are being made, the movies that are being produced, the music that is being played, the videos that our kids are watching on MTV and BET, the violent video games on PlayStation and Xbox, the rampant crime in our cities and neighborhoods, bullying in our schools, drug and alcohol abuse, rape, adultery, child molestation, same-sex marriage, abortion, homosexuality, pornography, racism, gang violence, and some forms of gangster rap music are all common occurrences in our society. And the problem that I have, Dr. Patterson, that all of these things seem to be the norm in our culture today. Therefore, Dr. Hanson, the question I've come all the way from New Orleans, Louisiana, to ask the students and faculty here on the campus of Southwestern Seminary, what's it going to take to change America? What's it going to take to change our morals? What's it going to take to change our life? What's it going to take to change values? What's it going to take to change mindsets in your town, in my town, in your city, in my city, in your community, in my community? What's it going to take to change Southwestern, our society? What's it going to take to change our cities, our culture, our community, our country? Ladies and gentlemen, what's it going to take to change America? Well, before I answer that question, and I will answer it in just a moment, let me ask you another question. As a matter of fact, brothers and sisters, let me ask you a personal question. And that question is, what did it take to change you? Before we talk about America, before we talk about our states and our cities and our nation, the question I want to ask tonight, this morning, is what did it take to change you? Think about it. You haven't always been saved. You haven't always been carrying your Bible. You haven't always been born again. You haven't always been a Christian. You haven't always been enrolled in a seminary. The question of the hour is, what did it take to change you? Think back for a moment. Before you are who you are today, what did it take to change you? Before you started preaching the gospel, before you started singing and playing gospel music, before you were a Sunday school teacher, what did it take to change you? Before you were a seminary professor, before you were an evangelist, before you were a missionary, before you were a pastor, what did it take to change you? Before you were a denominational worker, before you worked at IMB, a NAM, a Lifeway, your local association, or your state convention, the question of the hour, ladies and gentlemen, the question of the hour, brothers and sisters, what did it take to change you? In other words, in your BC days, your before Christ days, what did it take to change you? In other words, before you were bought or given your first King James Scofield Reference Bible. How many of y'all remember those King James? I see that hand. Before you were given your first King James Scofield Reference Bible, what did it take to change you? The question of the hour is, what did it take to change your life? What did it take to change your values? What did it take to change your morals? Before you stop drinking, before you stop running the streets, before you stop cussing, before you stop running women, before you stop gambling, before you stop going to the casino, before you stop buying lottery tickets. I hope you're still not buying lottery tickets. The question of the hour is, what did it take to change you? Well, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, I believe, Dr. Pat, somewhere along the line, you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe somewhere along the line, you heard the good news of Jesus Christ. Maybe in a church service, but you heard the good news. Maybe in a Sunday school class, but you heard the good news. Maybe in a revival meeting, but you heard the good news. Maybe at an evangelism conference, we were talking about that last night, but you heard the good news. Maybe at a revival meeting, but you heard the good news. Maybe at a vacation Bible school, maybe at a Billy Graham crusade, maybe at a Christian radio station, maybe at a church television broadcast, but you heard the good news. Maybe at a black party. Block party. I'm sorry. That looks like it ain't. Now I've been to a lot of black parties in my days, but maybe at a block party. But you heard the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And after hearing the good news, you believed the gospel. You trusted the gospel. And before you knew it, you were saved. You were born again. You gave your life to Jesus Christ. You became a new creature. For the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. All things now become new. In other words, my brothers and sisters, your life was transformed by the power of the gospel. Yes, your walk was transformed, your talk was transformed, your mind was transformed. It's all because you heard and received the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, my brothers and sisters, the Bible said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If the gospel changed your life, if the gospel transformed your life, if the gospel changed your values and changed your morals, I believe this same gospel can change the lives of those knuckleheads out in our streets, in our communities that we're afraid of, that we don't want to talk to. I believe the same gospel can change their life. And that's the point that the Apostle Paul, Southwestern, is making in our text this morning. Paul is saying, he's testifying about the transforming power of the gospel and how the gospel can change a person's life. So here in our text, I want to share with you at this chapter this morning, in the few moments that I have remaining, several characteristics that makes the gospel transforming. Several things why the gospel can transform lives, or no matter where they are in the city, in the states, in the nation, in the culture, no matter where they are. First of all, the gospel is personal. The gospel is personal. Look at the first part of verse 16. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed, Tim, of the gospel of Christ. The reason that God has been transformed, the gospel is personal. My friend, have you ever been in a worship service where there are hundreds of people, like in this chapel, hundreds of people in the service, and the man of God, the preacher, stand up and preaching the word of God, and look like you got a bullseye on your chest. Look like everything he's saying, he's talking to you. Every illustration is about you. Everything that he talks about, and it gets to the point where you may be way in the back, but they'll come down your aisle, go skip everybody, come down that pew, and just hit you right in the middle. And brother, some of us get so convicted, we start looking at our wives and say, "Have you told a preacher about us? Have you been talking to the preacher about what's going on in our house?" No, he hasn't. But the Holy Spirit of God has. And God had a personal word just for you. That's why Paul said, "I believe that the gospel is personal." Ladies and gentlemen, the word of God can be personal no matter what your situation is, no matter what your plight is. God always has a personal word to give through those of us who need the word of God. Think about it. When Paul was in prison in Philippi, God had a personal word for him. When Paul told, "I can do all things through Christ that give me the strength." When Paul was chased out of Thessalonica, God had a personal word for Paul when he said, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks." When Paul was smuggled out of Berea, God had a personal word for Paul when he said, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the attacks of the enemy." When Paul was laughed at Athens, God had a personal word for Paul when he said, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, them are called according to his purpose." When Paul was called a fool in Corinth, God had a personal word for Paul when he said, "Paul, what shall separate me from the love of God? Shall tribulation? No. Shall distress? No. Shall height? I let nothing separate me from the love of God." When Paul was stoned in Galatia, God had a personal word for Paul when he said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who not only loved me, but he gave himself for me." Oh, my brothers and sisters, that's why Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because the gospel met his every need." I said, "The gospel met his every need." And all my brothers and sisters, you and I can have that same testimony. Our culture can have that same testimony. The world can have that same testimony. Society can have that same testimony, because people's lives can be changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why I tell people, when they come into the Lord's house on the Lord's day, let the worship become personal. Let the music become personal. Let the fellowship become personal, so that when the man of God gets up to preach the word of God, you'll find yourself hearing a personal word just for you. Forget about yourself. Concentrate on God and worship him. Oh, that's what our society needs today. Our society needs to know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The lost needs to know. The down and out needs to know that the word of God is personal. Somebody said it like this: "Mama may have and Papa may have, but God bless the child who has his own." Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the first reason why the gospel can transform lives is, number one, the gospel is personal. With all of these people and all of these in this big old chapel and all of these seats, God can have a personal word just for you. But then there's a second thing. According to the text, not only can the gospel, not only is the gospel personal, but secondly, Apostle Paul goes on to say that the gospel, Dr. Patterson, is powerful. Not only personal, but the gospel is powerful. Look at the second part of verse 16. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." It is, for it is, what is the power of the gospel? It's the power of God unto salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, the word of God, the word of God is the only thing I know that can penetrate years of sin and save a lost soul. That's powerful. Did it in my life. The word of God is the only thing I know that can penetrate years of sin and save a lost soul. That's powerful. You know people, and I know people, who've had all kind of addictions, all kind of strongholds in their life, and they go to these programs, and they go for a month, they go for a month and a half, and they get out of these programs, and now they're supposed to be transformed, they're supposed to be renewed, and they'll do good for 2 weeks. They'll be good for 3 weeks. But then something happens in their life. They go right back into the same old thing all over again. But oh, I dare them hear the gospel. And I dare them receive the gospel. The gospel is the only thing I know that can penetrate years of sin and save that person. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is the only thing I know that can penetrate years of addiction and save a drug addict. That's powerful. The gospel is the only thing I know that can penetrate years of drinking and save an alcoholic. That's powerful. The gospel is the only thing I know that can penetrate years of immorality and save a homosexual.
homosexual, penetrate years of cheating and save an adulterer. Criminal can penetrate years of criminal activity and save a hardened criminal. The gospel can save because it's the power of God unto salvation. The gospel can save a gangbanger. The gospel can save a crack addict. The gospel can save a bully. The gospel can save a child abuser. The gospel can save a street runner. The gospel can save a rebellious teenager. The gospel can save an unfaithful spouse. Oh, the gospel can save you and you and you, and the gospel can save me. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel can transform lives. And that word salvation means deliverance. It means to rescue from the power and the dominion of sin. No more bondage, free. No more slavery, free. No more addictions, free. No more habits, free. No more guilt, free. No more running from the police, free. No more jail, free. No more shooters, no more crime, no more shame, no more living a lie, free. Oh, my friend, I don't know about you. I can't speak for nobody else in here but me, but I'm so glad I'm free. I'm so glad I'm free. I'm so glad I'm free. Listen, wasn't always my story. Wasn't always my testimony. At one time, I was too mean to live, not fit to die. Going to hell and enjoying the ride, and one of y'all might have been driving the bus. Let me see if you're in here. But Dr. Patterson, God gave me something I didn't deserve, and that is God gave me another chance. Therefore, my testimony is I was sinking deep in sin. Southwestern, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply staying within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, but you heard my despairing cry, and from the gutter, from the pit, from the mud, he lifted me. Now safe in my love. Can I just do this up here? Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else can help, God's love lifted me. Oh, my brothers and sisters, God's word is powerful. It can break the chains. It can break the addictions. It can break all the things that people are strung out on in their life, because the gospel is powerful. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel can transform lives. First of all, because it's personal. Secondly, because it is powerful. But then there's a third thing in the text. The gospel can transform lives, not only because it's personal, not only because it's powerful, but number three, the gospel is practical. The gospel is practical. Look at the third part of verse 16. Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation." Here it is. "For everyone who believes." For everyone who believes. For everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Why can the gospel transform lives? It's personal, it's powerful, but then thirdly, it's practical. Ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God can be accepted by anyone. The Word of God can be accepted by anyone, no matter their race, no matter their culture, no matter their heritage, no matter their background, no matter what side of the track they're born on, no matter what side of the track they live on. The gospel is practical for everyone. White, black, red, or brown, they can receive the gospel. They may speak English, Spanish, French, German, or Ebonics. They can receive the gospel. Y'all know what Ebonics is. I'm proud of that. They can receive, I'm impressed. They can receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. They may be Jew, Gentile, Protestant, or Catholic, they can receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. They may live uptown, downtown, Pigeon Town, your town, or my town. They can receive the gospel, no matter their culture, no matter their race, no matter their ethnicity, no matter who they are, where they're born from, or who their parents are. They can receive the gospel. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, no matter their hairstyle, they can have a fade, an afro, a jerry curl, a dreadlocks, comb over, a bald head. They can receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then no matter what they dress like, they can wear shorts, jeans, baggy pants, t-shirts. They can receive the gospel no matter what's on their feet. Jordans, Converse, Nikes, Reebok, Fubu, or cowboy boots. They can receive the gospel of Jesus Christ no matter what's on their body. Tattoos, earrings, body piercings. They can receive the gospel no matter their style of music. Hip-hop, gangster rap, rock and roll, R&B, southern gospel, or even country and western. Even folk that like country and western can receive the gospel. Let me just ask, what's this all about? All my exes live in Texas. What's that? What, what's that's all about. Even folk that love country and western can receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's practical. Whosoever will, let him come. Doesn't matter their race, their culture, their background. Matter of fact, the only color that God is concerned about is red, because that's the color of the blood. That's the color of the blood. That's the color of the blood. I love the way the songwriter said, when the songwriter said, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilt and stain. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but, oh, how precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fault I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, the gospel through the saving blood of Jesus Christ is available to everyone. It's practical, no matter the stronghold, no matter the struggle, no matter the issue, it's practical for everyone. And then finally, why can the gospel transform lives? Number one, the gospel is personal. It can come and it can change anybody's life. And many of us sitting in here this morning can testify to that. The gospel, number two, is powerful. It can penetrate years of addiction, years of strongholds, years of struggles, years of thinking of the world, and change your mentality and transform your life because it's powerful. Number three, the gospel is practical. Whosoever will, let him come. Doesn't matter your race, doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter what you were brought up in or what your background may be. The gospel is practical for everyone. And then finally, again, thank you, Dr. Patterson, for allowing me to be back here at Southwestern. Why can the gospel transform lives? Number one, the gospel is personal. It's powerful, it's practical. And then finally, the gospel is persistent. The gospel is persistent. Verse 17 goes on to say, for in it, in what? In the gospel, in the word of God. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. My friend, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've gone through, you can always depend on the gospel. From the beginning of time until the end of time, you can depend on the gospel. From start to finish, from Alpha to Omega, from faith to faith, you can depend on the gospel. You can depend, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, faculty, staff, and students, you can depend on the word of God. Jesus said it this way, heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall stand forever. Brothers and sisters, God's word is crucial if you're going to impact culture, if you're going to change our nation, if you're going to change our society, if you're going to change our cities, if you're going to change our community. God's word is crucial because in it, the word of God is, God reveals himself to mankind. His commandments are in the word revealed. His righteousness are in the word revealed. His standards are in the word revealed. His judgments are in the word revealed. The basics of our faith are in the word reveal. Oh, my friend, the word of God is persistent. It will continue to exist. It will continue to do it. Think about it. When everything else in life has failed, the word of God will still be standing. When Ann Landers and Dear Abby runs out of advice, the word of God will still be standing. When psychic lines run out of psychics, the word of God will still be standing. When horoscopes run out of horror, the word of God will still be standing. When palm readers run out of palms, the word of God will still be standing. When fortune cookies run out of fortunes, the word of God will still be standing. From beginning to end, from faith to faith, the word of God will still be standing. Why? Because it's persistent. Jesus told Satan in Matthew chapter 4, after he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, Satan knew that Jesus physically, yes, he was divine because he was God's son and Mary's baby, but he was also human because he was Mary's baby, and he knew he was hungry, and the devil said, Jesus, why don't you turn these stones into bread? Remember what Jesus said? You put some butter and some honey on there. You got it. Say, no. See, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the word of God will still be standing. What our society needs, what our culture needs, what our friend, what our neighbors need, what America needs, what our community needs, is the transforming power of the word of God, the transforming power of the gospel, because the word of God transforms lives. The word of God changes lives. The word of God can impact our culture, because only the word of God not the Republican Party, only the Word of God, not the Democratic Party, only the Word of God, not the U.S. Senate, only the Word of God, not the U.S. Congress, only the Word of God, not somebody riding a donkey or somebody riding an elephant. Only the Word of God can change lives. Only the Word of God can change the heart of a racist. Only the Word of God can change the mind of a murderer. Only the Word of God can change the desire of a child molester. Only the Word of God can change the crowd of a gang member. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. Only the Word of God can change the habit of a drug user. Only the Word of God can change the taste buds of an alcoholic. Only the Word of God can change the heart of a hypocrite. Only the Word of God can change the lifestyle of a homosexual. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. My friend, the only hope for New Orleans, the only hope for Fort Worth, the only hope for Dallas, the only hope for Virginia, the only hope for America is the Word of God. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. Love is in His Word. Peace is in His Word. Joy is in His Word. Forgiveness is in His Word. Deliverance is in His Word. Power is in His Word. And strength is in His Word. And salvation is in the Word of God. Think about it. If the Word of God changed you and you and you and you, why can't this same Word change the lives of those knuckleheads out there, Peanut and Panuku and Panicky and Shanene? Why can't the Word of God change their lives? Brothers and sisters, as I come to a close, I've had the greatest joy in my life the last 17 months serving this convention as its president. I've gone places I never thought I would go, preaching places I never thought I would preach in, met some folk I never thought I would meet. My wife and I had the privilege of sitting at the kitchen table of Dr. Billy Graham for 45 minutes in his home, all because I'm SBC president. That's something I never thought I'd see before. As I travel across this country, as I travel around our nation, I'm ashamed to say that there are a lot of things in America that I'm ashamed about this morning. As I travel across this nation in this position, there's a lot of things that I'm ashamed about today. I'm ashamed that racism is still prevalent in our society and in many of our churches. I'm ashamed of the number of babies that are still being killed every year through abortion. I'm ashamed that our elected officials in government can't put aside their personal agenda for the betterment of our cities, our states, and our nation. I'm ashamed today. I'm ashamed that brothers and sisters in the body of Christ can't put aside their petty differences for the cause of Christ and the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. I'm ashamed today. I'm ashamed of the jealousy that's rampant among our churches and pastors in our convention. I'm ashamed of the number of preachers who don't practice what they preach. I'm ashamed of the number of choir members and musicians who don't live the life they sing about in their choir or play on their instrument. I'm ashamed of it. I'm ashamed of some of the music videos that our young people are listening to on a daily basis. I'm ashamed of the high divorce rate in our churches among Christian couples. I'm ashamed today. I'm ashamed of the violence in our schools. I'm ashamed of drive-by shootings. I'm ashamed of crime. I'm ashamed of child pornography. I'm ashamed of the movies that are being made. I'm ashamed of some of the sitcoms that are on our TV. Yes, my brothers and sisters, there are a lot of things I'm ashamed of today as I travel across the country. But ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I've come all the way here to the campus of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary to announce today, to proclaim today, to inform you today that in spite of all the stuff I'm ashamed of, there is something that I'm not ashamed of. And that is, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Power to walk right. Power to talk right. Power to preach right. Power to sing right. Power to serve right. Power to witness. Power to save. Power to be set free. Power to be delivered. Power to change our lives, our cities, our communities, and our cultures. Power to transform lives to the glory and the honor of God. So come on, pastors. Let's preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, professors. Let's teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, students. Let's share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come in, evangelists. Let's proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, lay members, let's talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, choir members and musicians, let's sing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And come on, church, come on, church, come on, church, let's witness about the gospel of Jesus Christ so that lost men, women, boys, and girls can be saved and their lives can be changed because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ, I've heard the joy bell sound. Jesus says, I'm going to tell it all around. Jesus says, to the utmost. Jesus says, to the utmost. Jesus says, he'll pick you up and he'll turn you around. Somebody know what I'm talking about? Say hallelujah. Somebody has been transformed, say hallelujah. Somebody has been born again, say hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus says, may God bless you. May God keep you. Pray for me, and I'll pray for you.
Thank you for listening to this audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you want more information on our academic programs, or if you would like to support our mission, visit www.swbts.edu.